is the McDonald's Fanky Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Episode number 48, if you're keeping score. Alongside the head coach and athletic director of Vinton County Athletics, the one and only Matt Coles. How we doing, Coach?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. Ready for spring.
Yeah, I hear that.
Can't believe the regular season's in the bag. It's in the rearview mirror. It's over. We now turn our attention to the survive and advance portion of the season, none other than the Ohio High School Athletic Department's tournament.
Getting started. I guess boys got started last night, I guess.
Yeah. We got a lot of tournament stuff to cover this episode. We do have an in-studio guest. He's patiently sitting over in the corner of the padded room, not in a fetal position. He's upright on a bar stool. None other than the sports editor of the Jackson Times Journal, Paul Boggs. He's sitting there. He's going to educate us, school us on all the tournaments, because I know you don't have a lot of free... Well, yeah, you do have a lot of free time this time of year, but you normally don't spend most of your time tracking D4 tournament teams. So
no, not really. I've looked at it. I've just now looked at the bracket a little bit, but I've got an opinion of a few teams I think might make tournament runs at that 3 and 4 level. I try to follow... My brother runs that website for the SVC, so I follow his website a little bit, kind of follow some of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of up on the SVC, obviously the TVC, and of course Paul covers predominantly Jackson, Wellston, Vinton County, and Oak Hill sports, so he has a lot of knowledge of the SEOAL teams as well as the SOC2 teams. And then I just think by default, the fact that the guy's a gym rat and he pretty much professionally lives in some gym at one day or the other, so he sees a lot of hoops over the course of the year.
So doubt about it.
He'll give us that. But we do have a one last regular season game to cover. Of course, we jinxed ourselves last week. By the way, we're recording this Tuesday afternoon, February 24th. If you care, do you care?
I personally, do I care?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Me neither. But our executive producer, DB Bruce Cakes Knox. He cares. We got to get that in. By the way,
we need to get a T-shirt made. Bruce cares.
Bruce cares. Yeah. Bruce Cakes cares. Got to have the cakes in there. I know your shirt. That's copyright infringement. Mr. Entitled Boy walks in here with a shirt that says because we can.
Well,
yeah, I think that'd be
positive
a good,
attitude.
I think it'd be good for your kids. Put that on Brogan Combs's. Get him because I can.
He lives with that attitude every day.
I know, but let it be known publicly.
Why do you throw your food across the table? Because I can.
Because I can. I want another cookie. Why? Because I can.
Yes.
I want to scream at my dad uncontrollably. Why?
It happens. Because he can.
Yeah. But anyhow, couldn't record yesterday because of a scheduling conflict with you. Last minute, you bail. But you'll have that. And Bruce Cakes just... Seriously, it's bad.
Oh, I'm avoiding them.
You should. It's real, real, real bad. I digress. Anyhow, last week we were talking about how great the weather had been and how you'd gotten through the year without any cancellations.
Yes.
And I knew right then, but White Death hit us last week and you had to scrap the Logan game. It was originally rescheduled for, Saturday afternoon?
Right.
Then White Death came again, so Logan's out. That game's canceled. But you did have your senior night last Friday night, as you welcomed in the Wellston Golden Rockets as your final home game and final regular season game of the year, and you come out of that one a winner 65-51, but kind of a slow start for you guys. You did not really look that good in the first quarter. I don't know if that was the flatness of just all the I don't know, pregame festivities or what, but you kind of got things cranking in the second, third quarters, and then from there on out. But I can't imagine you were real happy with the way that game got going.
Well, I think it was a combination of two things. I mean, one, Wellston, I thought, played with a lot of energy, and they really were ready to play that night. And you could tell that they were sort of rallying around the fact that maybe they could come in and get us. And then we started an odd lineup, obviously, with our seniors. We started all five of our seniors. So I think that just having that combination on the floor that's not really used to playing together as a group, and then you're bringing guys off the bench now who aren't used to coming off the bench. So sure. They've been sitting over there. And so when our starters came back in, I thought they were a little flat, a little sluggish. But, yeah, I thought, you know, midway through the second quarter on, I thought we were pretty sharp. But, yeah, you're right. That first quarter and a half was a little bit rough. Like I said, I give a lot of credit to Wellston. But I thought the last, you know, 20 minutes of that basketball game, our kids were really sharp and did what we had to do and played pretty hard. And we were able at the end of the game to get a lot of kids in, rotate some guys in, which is always nice because – in the back of my mind, I had serious doubts we were going to be able to play the next day.
I think everybody did.
So I wanted to try to get everybody in that game, even though it's not like we were up 25, 30 points where it was comfortable, but we were up 15, 16, so we tried to rotate some guys in and get everybody in the game. So, you know, overall, it served its purpose. Senior night got to honor those five seniors that we talked to on the show last week and obviously get another league win, you know, securing at least a second place tie for second place finish in our league, which obviously is never our goal, but at this point, you know, salvage something out of it. I thought it was good.
Scoring for Vinton County, Chase leads the Vikings with 19 points. Jordan Albright with 15. Max Ward with 10. Tristan Bartow with 9. Tyler Barnett with 2. Andy Long with 1. Wellston led by Ryan Hawk with 13 points as the Vikings get out of there with a 65-51 win by quarters. Wellston outscored you 17-13 in the first quarter. You outscored them 17-10 in the second. The third quarter, you kind of put the hammer down, outscored them 19-11. And then in the fourth quarter, you outscored them 16-13. So a good win as you finish the regular season, 14-7?
Right.
And 8-4 in the TBC Ohio. And, boy, I'm still kicking myself over that loss down at Meigs because – you got tripped up down there on the road against Meigs, and lo and behold, Alexander gets tripped up down at River Valley. But you and Alexander both share a tie for second in the TBC Ohio. So
yeah, I mean, it was a tough loss that night. Meigs played at a high level. We ran into that some this year, you know, where teams would just play at a really high level against us. And as coaches, we expect that because we know we kind of got a target on our back. Sometimes I think kids don't realize that or don't quite get that. And unfortunately, it bit us that night. It almost bit us a couple other times in the league. You know, overall, you're trying to play good basketball going into the tournament now. Hopefully we are, and we'll see how we do tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, you made mention of the seniors we had in last week. Had a good time with those guys. I know one of the few you and I normally don't listen to the podcast because obviously we're in here doing it.
But, right.
You did mention you'd probably listen to it, and I don't know if you had a chance to.
I've actually listened to part of it. I was in the middle of it, and then, you know, finished my car ride and haven't kicked it back on yet. I normally listen in the car, but
good group of kids. There's been years we've interviewed these seniors, and you just got to almost beat them over the head to get them to talk. But very talkative, personable bunch, and it seems like the one thing that I genuinely got, and there's years that they'll say they're close, and you just know they're not. They're in different cliques. But this group of kids seems like they're really genuinely buddies and friends outside of basketball. But with this senior class, just without, you know, singing Kumbaya and breaking out the Kleenexes, what kind of a class has it been for you?
Well, I think it's been a really good class from a terms of attitude because I think I mentioned this before. When you have one senior who plays a lot of minutes and you've got four seniors that sort of are hit and miss with the amount of times they play, you worry about attitude, you know, because typically if you're going to have five seniors on your team, you know, more of them need to be playing the minutes, not to have some complaining, some dissension. And it hadn't been that way with us. We've had four seniors who come off our bench who have all been great kids to coach, never complain, just do their job. And even though they have some sophomores, juniors playing in front of them, it's never been an issue. And it's made for, from that standpoint, an easy year for me in terms of keeping the team together. We haven't had any kind of that fallout or anything like that. And that coaches will tell you that makes for a miserable year if you have that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we've been fortunate. These seniors have been really good about that.
Well, I know that you made the comment back late summer, fall, about how some of these seniors were going to have to adapt to roles.
Right.
Specifically Andy Long, Austin Lambert, you know, and Andy probably got less minutes this year than he did last year. And I know you were kind of cautiously concerned that maybe Andy would have a problem with that. And just the opposite. He really embraced
it. Yeah, he's been a great kid. Leadership, I mean, went out of his way to really lead and talk and be a guy on the bench that's into what we're doing. And, you know, you'll see Andy come in a game and make a couple nice defensive plays, and then I'll take him out. And people are probably thinking, man, that's kind of rough. You know, kid takes charge, comes out of the game. But he knows he's sort of a defensive guy for us, and when we go on the offensive end, we'll probably get Chase or somebody back in there. But he's accepted that. You know, he's accepted his role and done it well, and that's all you can really ask. I mean, Andy's really an unselfish kid. If you think about it, he's also a kid in football that for the good of the team, moved from quarterback to running back halfway through the season. And never really complained about that either. You know what I'm saying? Right. Just went and did his job. So I think it says a lot about him as a young man that he accepts his role.
Yeah, man. And then same with Tyler Barnett, you know, Tyler McFerrin, Austin Lambert, all of them. There hadn't been any ego or any drama with the kids or parents. And sometimes you get that you know, my kid's a senior. He needs more minutes.
Right.
And I think by and large, you know, the parents have been just as good as the kids. And
yeah, they have.
And, you know, that can be the kiss of death right there as a coach is when you got a nagging parent feeding a kid full of a bunch of crap, how great they are. It can ruin the dynamics of the team spirit, so to speak. Later on in the podcast, though, I want to throw this out here right now. Before we get out of here today, you as the athletic director of Vinton County, I know there's been a lot of talk around the community about the search for a new Vinton County football coach, and you obviously being the AD are on that committee. We're going to get into that, just kind of teasing our fan base. That's what they call it in the professional ranks. And we are not professional, but still.
I can agree with that.
But anyhow, just I know that there's a lot of people, had a lot of people ask me what's going on, who's going to get the job, and inquiring minds want to know. So we'll get to that later. I'm not going to do I'm not editing a segment. This is the last episode of the year. So I'm like, feel like a last week of school. I'm just kind of half.
I'm cruise control.
I'm lollygagging.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, it's freaking 55 degrees below zero. My daughter and my wife have not had a normal school day forever. I'm ready to play golf.
Hey, I'm
sorry,
with you there.
I've lost my joy. So with that, here's our guest. How you doing, Paul?
Good, Carl. How you doing?
Half-assing it.
I'm glad to be here.
He's glad to be here to watch that, Carl.
At least I'm honest. I mean, have you ever known me to gloss things over?
I've known you for many years. You just put it out there, and you are what you are.
It's me. I'm not perfect, and I don't claim to be. But you aren't perfect either. No. No, honestly, how many years you've been with the Times Journal now?
With the Times Journal, I've been there over 10 years now, and I've been doing this professionally, believe it or not, 17, almost 18.
You were the messenger for
when I was finishing school at a high university in the late 1990s. I started as a part-time reporter there in their sports department. Moved on to the Parkersburg News and Sentinel for a year and a half. Worked there in their sports department before being hired back at the Athens Messenger as their sports editor, and worked there until late in the 2004 year, early 2004, 2005. So I've been over at the Times Journal since then.
Okay, so I didn't realize, man, we're both getting old. I've known you since we were.
Believe it or not, I have my 20-year reunion coming up this year. If that says anything,
I got a 30 coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, Paul's been, you've been covering games ever since I've been here. Yeah. I think my first year on, I think this is my 16th year, and you've been.
Your first season was 2001. I think. The 2001, 2002 season, I started covering you.
My first season was the 2001 graduating class, and maybe you weren't there that very first year then. It would have been, I was here 2000, 2001 was my first year.
Okay, yeah. 2001, 2002.
I got you. Okay.
Started at the Messenger, and
I knew you, I mean, I knew most of the time because
And give it a shout out to Coach Combs. His, except for his first season, every season since then, his teams have won at least 12 games every year.
Right.
Appearing in a lot of sectional final games, several sectional championships, several league championships. No. He's really done a great job building the program, basketball, boys basketball program.
He has. As much poking as a lot of us give him, he's good at it. And he's had a good string of talent and good group of people around him. And that's about as deep as it'll get on the complimentary front. No, seriously, we're lucky to have him. And on that point, before we get into the whole tournament and this year, I just as a sports reporter, you see guys like him, Norm Pearson, Chris Graham, a lot of these guys. You see him not just in the best of times, you see him in the worst of times. As a sports reporter, first of all, two part question: how is he to deal with? And don't gloss it over. Trust me, this is not How easy is he to deal with, and what, as a sports reporter, you got a job to do, they got a job to do, but obviously emotions run high at times that you need to get a quote or a comment or something like that. What's he like, and how do you handle that professionally with all the coaches you encounter?
Well, I can tell you that if they say that sports writers don't root or shouldn't root, they're either stupid or they're lying or both,
right?
Because we root big time. I mean, we root for our teams to do well and win, makes our post-game interviews much easier knowing we're talking to a winning coach as opposed to a losing coach. Although Matt's very good about talking to us win or lose. We root for good deadlines. We root for games not to go to overtime.
I root for JV games not to go to overtime.
And JV games and freshman games.
Right.
But no, most of the coaches I've had the fortune of working with and the pleasure of working with over the years have been very good to talk to, win or lose. Which makes obviously my job easier. I know everybody wants to win. I do too.
But I mean, you know, some coaches that, you know, after a really tough loss or a loss where they've got teed up or just a bad night, well, they just kind of see you in the hallway and say, "Listen, I can't right now, but call me in the morning."
Right. I've had that too.
Yeah, I know. I know one coach in Oak Hill that has done that before.
Most of the time, Norm Pearson at Oak Hill has, you know, been very good with the media about talking after a loss. Mm-hmm. I know he'd much rather win, as I would. I've never really had an issue with Norm after a loss. I know he can get grabby and steamy and with the play of his team, but he's always been very good with being good.
But there's been some.
Are some out there.
They can't cross. They can't separate the two, and you know that they're. Yeah, and that's got to be hard because.
And we have, as a reporter, we have to have enough foresight to see, hey. Don't approach the coach after this one. Let him cool down. Talk to him the next day.
Right. Does dealing with the media for you, is it is it tough sometimes?
It's tough. It's tough after a loss. You don't want to talk about it all the time. But I think as a coach, at least for me, I don't ever want to be known as the type of guy that's just a big crybaby when I lose. I mean, part of my job is on a loss is to sit there and talk about it if they ask me questions. And I think, you know, you don't want that reputation because if I'm a media guy and I've got a guy that only wants to talk to me after we win, I'm going to look at him a little bit differently. You know, I think I'm going to lose a little respect for that guy thinking, oh yeah, you're great when things are going good, and when things are going bad, you're an idiot, you know, and I don't want to be that way. So I've always tried to make sure. And one thing, you know, that Paul's always been good at, and some other guys in our area too, is I think recognizing, you know, when a coach is a little upset after a game, and every now and then we'll probably say something we shouldn't, you know, and they've always done a nice job of kind of weeding through that and saying, you know, is it important? Is that really important for me to put in there? You know what I mean? And I think because sometimes you'll make a comment maybe about officiating that once you step away, you say, man, I wish I wouldn't have made that comment. And I think most of the time, hey, you know what, that didn't really have
anything
to do with it.
Most of the time when you're reviewing your tape and writing your story and thinking about, better off to leave that out.
Right. I mean, it doesn't happen much. It really doesn't happen much. A lot of times, too, it might just be misconstrued. You might say something that comes across that way. Like you'll make the comment, the game was just really physical tonight and, you know, it sounds like you're complaining about officiating when maybe you're not. You're just talking about your team not reacting well to it. So, I think relationships are formed between coach and media guys who, especially with Paul and I, that's been like we said, for basically 15 years, you know, working together. You start to know each other personally, and then you sort of know what the other one means when he says something. You know what I mean? So it makes it a little bit easier.
And I think working in a small market, I mean, if you disagree, please, I mean, when you work in a small market and you there is a friendship, not a friendship, but there is a closer relationship and a less abrasive type of dynamic going on than working in a big market. And I know you've probably had jobs where you could go to a big market, you being a graduate of the EW Scripps School of Journalism, which is, I'm an OU grad too. So I know I'm a TCOM grad, but I took a lot of journalism class, and that is a meat grinder of a journalism school.
Mm, it is.
But when you get probably some of the guys you went to college with who are in major, you know, larger markets, yeah, they don't care about the coach as much. It's get the story.
It's get the story regardless how you got to do it, regardless who you got to step on to get it.
Yeah, if you got to shred the coach, you got to make someone look like an idiot. It doesn't matter because you may or may not be there next year, and same for them. So do you kind of enjoy working in a smaller market?
Yes, I really do, covering high school sports especially, where you know, your major metro areas – who cover more pro teams, more college teams, would be the relationship and the rapport is nowhere near as good as you know, covering one or two or three or four teams.
It's very businesslike.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, I'll tell you what, let's get to the tournament. Overall, I don't know if it's me or what, but it's, I don't know if they're outside of Uniota, Warren Local, D3, obviously Chesapeake's a little bit of a surprise. I don't say surprise, anything that Ryan does down there. But I don't really see a team this year that I go, wow, this is a team that's going to make
this is about as wide open a tournament across all the divisions, that, especially Division II and Division III, that I can remember.
Right.
You mentioned Chesapeake in Division III. The River Valley team that they're going to be playing on Friday for the sectional championship down at Jackson came within 5 points of them at River Valley earlier in the season, and I think it was a week ago or so when Chesapeake and Colgrove last played. It was a 38-35 game, which Colgrove came out on top. So, you know, when you're number one seed, which you would normally think of as the clear-cut favorite to go all the way, or at least make it out to the regional, I just don't see that this year, especially in Division III. Division II.
Okay, let's just start with D2. Pretend he's not here. We'll get you involved more than D3, because I think it's safe to say you've got a little bit of a favoritism issue with the D2 bracket. But let's go D2. Let's first start with Matt Hoops and the Uniota Shermans. And there's another bias for you.
Right.
I haven't seen them play. Coach Combs has seen them and said they're good.
They are as good as advertised.
And they're deep.
And they're deep. And I saw them against Jackson right before Christmas. That was the night that Uniota hung 100 on Jackson that night.
And that wasn't rubbing it in. That was
That was
going deep in the bench.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
And Uniota could have, you know, scored 120 if they wanted to that night. But Uniota was the best Division II team. That I didn't get a chance to see the Warren Jackson game or Athens play this year, but Uniota is the best D2 team that I saw out there.
And outside of that bracket, the top half of that bracket, which would be the southeastern bracket and then the bottom half of the Logan bracket, you got Uniota and you got Athens as a two seed. Any other team in that top half, and this is not where Vinton County is, do you see any one of those teams that you go, that could be a team that could give?
I think Sheridan could give Athens in the sectional final, make that game a little bit interesting.
What do you think about that, Coach?
Sheridan, I saw Sheridan play once. Yeah, I mean, they've got a couple pieces there. I think they've got good enough guard play. They've got some experience where they can handle the basketball. And the thing about Athens is you know, as good as Athens is, they're not a team that typically jumps all over you in a hurry. You know, you can sort of hang around for a while. They give you the slow death. You know what I mean? You know, like when we played them this year, you're down 5, you're down 8. Then at the next quarter, you're down 14. You know, they just sort of pull away. I think you can hang in, and Sheridan's got some pieces. I tell you that the matchup that intrigues the heck out of me, and I can talk about this because this wouldn't affect us right away in the tournament, is the potential Athens-Uniota matchup. Because Uniota makes a living pressing you to death, really causing some turnovers, wearing you down. And Athens... you're going to have a bunch of 6'5" athletes on the floor that night,
right,
if that game happens, you know, on both sides. And Athens is a team that just strikes me as awfully difficult to turn over. I mean, Joey Burrow and those Lerman kids, you're not going to intimidate them. You're not just going to stroll in there and them just, you know, freak out. I mean, they're going to handle the ball. They're going to pass. Now, could Uniota wear them down? And obviously foul trouble's an issue for Athens. Yeah, but if Athens can keep who they want on the floor and play Uniota for 32 minutes – That would be interesting because that's two different styles. Uniota is going to want to play fast. Athens is going to want to play a little more controlled than that.
Well, and wasn't that the moxie on, you know, with Warren Local? That was a highly talked about.
That was a highly hyped game.
Hype for what years?
And
Warren Local just
beat him 77-32, I believe, was the final score.
But what happens is you go to Warren, tough place to play.
Right.
Your point guard gets in foul trouble big time.
You're not
And he's out of the game early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so again, if Athens gets foul trouble, anybody on a given night could give them trouble, you know, because they're not very deep. But again, if they play Uniota and they can keep everybody on the floor, that could be really interesting.
Yeah, I think Griffin Lutz really makes that team go, is the one that makes that team
right.
go. You look at Joey Burrow and the Lerman twins, are really good athletes,
right.
not necessarily great basketball players, good basketball players, but more athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Griffin Lutz is their best pure basketball player.
Right. Yeah, he is an awfully good player. But you're right about Uniota. I mean, they're very good, obviously. So that's probably the only matchup in D2 I'll talk about. I'll let you guys have the rest of that.
Okay, we'll go down to the bottom half of the bracket where Vinton County is. Obviously, at Warren Local, the one seed, they're going to be playing Meigs, who won last night. That'll be tomorrow night at 6:15 at Logan High School. And then, of course, tomorrow night also you have the Vinton County Logan Elm game that follows at 8 o'clock. They are clearing the gym, right?
No, they're not.
Probably not for this.
First round they won't.
Right.
Saturday they will.
Saturday
they will because they're not clearing the gym. Well, they're clearing the gym because they have
the
boys and girls game.
Yeah, while we're on that, if I can.
No, go ahead.
Saturday the 28th,
mm-hmm.
At Logan High School, Jim Myers Gymnasium, the Logan boys and girls teams are both hosting sectional final games, both against Pickerington North. The girls will play at 1, the boys will play at 4, and then the Division II sectional championship game, which is with the winner of Meigs and Warren, the winner of Vinton County and Logan Elm, that will be at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll back up an hour.
Right. Instead of 7, which is the usual time.
Okay. And while we're talking about the game, and we'll talk about Logan Elm before we get out of here, Coach, but real quickly before I forget, tickets for tomorrow night's game versus Logan Elm, are they pre-sales tickets at the high school?
We have them at the high school, but with the weather, you know, didn't have school today.
Right.
It's been a little tough. But if people, you know, if people want to swing by during the day tomorrow, they can pick those up. We do have them. We sold a few of them at the Wellston game the other night, and you know, they're there.
And obviously, in the event that you win tomorrow night and you're going to be playing Saturday, they can pick up tickets throughout the remainder of the week, and a portion of those ticket sales stay at Vinton County rather than going in the coffers.
Yeah, we get I think $1.25 a ticket or something.
That's
yeah, so
better than a sharp poke in the eye.
Yes.
Okay, back to the bracket.
The Meigs Warren matchup. Meigs has played much better, especially the second half of the season. Got a big win last night over New Lexington, but they're still playing Warren. I like Warren in that matchup against Meigs. Then Vinton County and Logan Elm. Really a pure 4-5 game. This is not the typical Logan Elm team, you know, record-wise
right.
that you've seen in the past.
They're young. Young
yeah, they're
small.
Yeah, much. Yeah,
but
they regional qualifier last year
right.
beat Warren in the district final.
I'm
gonna go with the Vikes in that game.
Homer.
I'm gonna go with the Vikes. Find a way to get it done. It's too much pressure.
Oh, no.
What are you looking at me like?
I'm going with the Vikes, too. That's what I want. So,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
my heart's telling me Vinton County. Logan Elm is strongly coached.
I will not disagree with that. Coach
no,
Stuyvesant
no, seriously.
Agree.
I mean,
if it was a coaching matchup, they'd already have the win. Okay, we're hoping our players carry.
You've scouted. I mean, you've already, well, I don't know if you call it scouting. You've seen Logan Elm play through the course of the year.
Yeah, they are a. I mean, people will say they're down, and I guess compared to what they've had, maybe they're, you know, they don't quite have the size or the weapons that they've had in the past, but daggone, they're a pretty good team. I mean, they have some shooters. They've got kids, this young kid, Ridge Young, I mean, sophomore, Dylan, his brother was senior last year. Mm-hmm. This kid played some varsity as a freshman. I mean, he had 26 against Athens in a game this year, can really play, can really shoot. So
I take it typical Doug Stuyvesant defense.
Tough, hard-nosed, good composure. Kids don't freak out. They just sort of stay the course.
It sounds a lot like this team. It's going to be tough.
I mean, I'd compare this team in a lot of ways to like an Alexander, maybe just in some of their similarities. Really tough, hard-nosed kids that defend well, mm-hmm. and you're not going to push around, and you just, you know, we've really preached our guys this week just toughness and aggressiveness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Win or lose tomorrow night, I hope when people leave that game, they think that we are the more aggressive of the two teams. That's really my goal as a coach and our goal this week as a team, I think.
Okay, that will be a dandy tomorrow night, February 25th at Logan High School. In the bottom half of that bracket, in the southeastern side of it, you got the number 2 seed Medford Mighty Falcons going up against Hillsboro, the 7 seed. And then in the bottom half of that, you got the 3rd seeded Circleville Tigers against Greenfield McLean. They're the 6 seed with the so anyone I've been Medford. I hear JJ Hale, guy I work with, happens to be on Oak Hill staff, talk about Medford being, you know, next to Valley. They were the cream of the crop in the SOC2, which I consider to be a pretty tough conference down there. They lost their big kid last year, the football player
Jared McCray.
Yeah, but he said everyone else is back. Yes. And they're tough.
Yeah, they won the Southern Ohio Conference Division II, won it outright. But they are coming into the tournament on a 2-game losing streak. Lost at Chesapeake in overtime. Would have been 2 weeks ago today.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the snow outs and things.
Right.
Also beat Oak Hill in that stretch, 68-61 at Oak Hill to clinch the league. And then lost at home actually to Valley, Lucasville Valley, okay, last Friday. So losing 2 out of 3 coming into the tournament. But they're still, I mean, should have no problem with Hillsboro, but you would like to come into the tournament with a little bit more momentum, especially as a 2 seed like Medford.
What real quickly before we get to D3, Circleville, what's the moxie on them?
They're pretty good. I think they they finished 2nd in the Mid-State League. If I'm not mistaken, I think Bloom Carroll and Taze Valley tied for that league this year, and Circleville's got a couple of the better players in that conference. I mean, they've got some size, they've got some lanky guards, really athletic team, shoots the ball well. So they got a nice team. That could be a really good matchup, the Medford Circleville matchup. You know, I saw Medford play once this year, and they're awfully big and strong. Man, they can really hurt you in and around the basket. So that could be an interesting matchup.
Okay, D3, the big bracket with lots of teams. What do you got? Jackson's got 4 sectionals. Waverly's got 4 sectionals. It's a gamut of teams here. Out of that, the 1 seat Valley and the Waverly sectional and the Jackson 1, you have the Chesapeake Panthers at a 19-1 record. And then in the Waverly 2 sectional, you have Portsmouth of a 15-5. Those are your big seeds. Outside of those, either one of you two want to speculate on a sleeping giant or someone that
I would still take Ironton as a sleeping giant. I can see Ironton getting out of that bracket. Well, all the way to the regional.
Seriously.
Yes. They have that much athleticism.
They're young, but
they're still very good athletes. They can get up and down the floor. They have height. They have speed. They didn't play their best game at all last night against Wellston. Wellston very determined.
Wellston, they had them tied at
Wellston,
the half.
The game was tied at 28 at the half. And actually, Wellston was only down 61-58 late in the game with 3.5 minutes left before Ironton finally put them away. Wellston did shoot the ball very well, made 10 three-pointers in the game. That's probably the best they've shot all year, shot 50% in the first half.
Well, and that's got to create a good matchup for Ironton getting, you know, they're going to match up with Oak Hill. That's on the 27th. What day is that?
That'd be this Friday
night at 8:30 at Jackson High School. Norm Pearson, who was a coach at Chesapeake, actually coached Mark LaFon, the now head coach at Ironton.
This is now actually the 4th meeting in the last 5 years in the tournament between Oak Hill and Ironton.
So, I mean, the outside of the nostalgia, but you think Ironton getting past Oak Hill and the sectional final, that will probably lead them to be playing Valley, who they've already faced twice this year, losing both times if Oak Hill gets by. But you think that Ironton can match up?
I think Ironton can match up with Valley, yes.
Okay. In the Jackson 2, Waverly 3, out of that, you got the 2 seed Alexander. They're going to have Crooksville in the first round. That's tonight at 6:15, February 24th. And then other teams I see in that, Zane Trace at a 13-5 record. There's the chalk paths, but do you see anything in that? Those two brackets coming up as a surprise.
I see Alexander and Zane Trace reaching the combo there.
And I'd be interested in your comment. I would, and nothing against Jim Kern and the Spartans, I would tend to favor Zane Trace over Alexander. I think Alexander is a really, really strong team at home. I just think that Bryce Mowry, Pierce Mowry, I think he's just phenomenal.
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing. It depends which way you look at it, because, like, you know, I've always said one of the most important things to have to make a good tournament run is a great player. Well, Zane Trace has that because that kid's a great player.
He can score. He's already at scored will his thousands anywhere on the court.
He's got about 1,100 points right now. He's a junior, so you know, he can really light it up and score. And they got a Bolton House kid's averaging probably about 17 a game too. And but the flip side of that, I think you have to be a good possession to possession team and play defense. And Alexander does that as well as anybody. I mean, they can really get you in a half court game, really grind it out on you. They're great defensively. That would be an interesting matchup to me. I would love to see how Alexander would go about trying to guard Mowry, what their approach would be. He's awfully difficult to guard, but Alexander's done as good a job as anybody this year defending a great player like that. So if that matchup happens at the Convo, that would be one worth watching, I think.
Okay, as we move down to the Jackson 1 sectional, got Chesapeake, the number one seed. They're going to be going up against River Valley, who beat Nelsonville York last night. That game will be Friday night at 6 o'clock. Wishful thinking. I think River Valley thinks they got a game, and I know they took Chesapeake. You know, I just think Ryan Davis, come tournament time, he knows how to get a team through. I don't see anything.
You know what's interesting about that in that Division III, not to interrupt you, but you've got, I mean, I can tell you as Chesapeake, as a one seed, there's probably a whole lot of teams they'd rather play than River Valley.
Probably.
I mean, River Valley's got some guards.
Especially when you're playing the same team.
And you've played them a couple times. They played you tough. And then same thing with Valley. I mean, Adina's not a bad basketball team.
No.
Adina's got
they beat you in the foundation game.
Yeah, but Adina's got a kid that came eligible after 11 games, one of the better athletes in the league, in Brian Hall. They got the Thomas kid who just scored his 1,000th point as a junior last night. So if you're Valley, are you tickled pink to play Adina in the first game?
Adina beat Portsmouth West twice, and I think Portsmouth West has just as good athletes as anybody.
And that's what you're talking about with this D3 being wide open. If you're already getting matchups, scary matchups in the 1-8 game, you know, what's the rest of the tournament going to look like? So
if I had to say anything, I'd say Portsmouth probably would have the easiest path to the district final.
I would
agree. Bottom of that bracket.
Yeah, because you got West Union, Eastern Brown, Fairland, South Point, Colgrove, and Rock Hill. Only team I don't know much about, Fairland this year. They went from D2 back to D3, but they have a 13-7 record. But you know, I don't know. That's going to be an interesting. I can see there being somewhere along the course of this entire D3 district. I don't think chalk is going to prevail.
No, I really I don't. I think there's going to be some bracket busting, and I feel Ironton, it's my opinion, will be that bracket buster.
You have a comment?
Yeah, I don't know enough about it. I mean, like, I haven't studied the bracket as well as you guys have in D3. I just know there's a few teams that would scare me to death. I think Zane Trace because of Mowry. Ironton, like you say, we played them this summer. I know how athletic they are, and you're right. I mean, this thing, it would be surprising if just chalk prevailed the whole way through. I think there's a lot of potential upsets there.
Okay, well, moving on to something that I know absolutely nothing about, the Division IV district bracket. We'll let you, because I know you've
There's basically a few things, maybe three things you need to know. Peebles,
good.
And Bo Justice,
right.
Over 2,200 points. Look for Peebles to
where's
push.
Where's he going to college?
I honestly don't know.
You heard anything about where he's going?
I'm not 100. No, I'm not sure. I haven't heard.
But I look for Peebles to advance. They would play probably Pike Eastern in the district championship game if you reach that far.
Right.
And at the bottom of that bracket, Trimble. Working on a they're 20-0 right now, working on a chance to go. If they get their makeup games in this week, chance to go 22-0. Of course, Howie Caldwell's the coach there. Could be a matchup with them in Paint Valley in a district championship game as well. I know Paint Valley beat Peebles, handed Peebles its only loss this year.
Right.
And I don't know a whole lot about – you can probably speak more to this, coach, than I can. Paint Valley has a freshman that's
– Yeah. Paint Valley is would be my sleeper pick if you want to call them that at a two seed. They've already beaten Peebles at Peebles. That may or may not work against them at the regional level if they play again, I guess. But Trimble's had a very good year, too. I'm telling you, Paint Valley's really good. And again, they're a little bit like Athens in this sense. They have to be able to keep their best players on the floor. They don't have depth. You know what I mean? They basically have four really good players and a couple role guys. But their top four can really play. You're talking about Dylan Swingle, who's a 6'8 freshman, 6'9 maybe. I don't know how big he is.
Remember a gentleman telling me that Bob Huggins, head coach at West Virginia, One of their first games of the year against Unioto, he was there scouting, but watching the Swingle kids specifically.
Right. Bob Huggins and Dave Shoemaker are actually pretty good friends. So I think he's been on their radar a little bit. But Swingle kid's a freshman. The Mason McCloy, who is an animal on the glass, probably 6'4 kid who just is an animal. I mean, I think last year he averaged like 17 points, 14 boards or something. I don't know. I mean, it was just and then they got two really good guards, McFadden at the point, and they got a Stratton kid who scored his 1,000th point as a senior a little earlier this year. So they've got four really good players, and they've had a really good year. You consider, you know, out of their losses, of course, they've lost twice to Union.
They're always playing up in schedule.
Oh, yeah.
They've lost the school by far in the SEC.
Yeah, and, you know, if they can keep their players on the floor, if they can avoid foul trouble, that type of thing, they're going to be awfully tough to beat.
Yeah. Talk about Trimble. Obviously their football success, Howie Caldwell comes in to take over the Tomcat program. They're undefeated.
I can compare them a lot. I mean, I haven't seen Trimble play this year. I mean, and Howie Caldwell's
obviously you've talked to Kevin Wiseman, and you guys talk
outstanding
a lot.
Coach.
Right.
I can compare them a lot probably to the Oak Hill team that made the run to the
2009,
state.
Right.
You had players like Jesse Sloan and Weston Hale that were really good football players and eventually good athletes. They're just playing basketball too.
Do they have a Kyle Ondero type point guard or someone that's a really good ball handler?
I don't know about their
right.
But they do have a Micah Couch is a really good player, probably be the player of the year in the Hocking division.
Right.
Again, I'm not real too familiar with Trimble, but from what
I'm not either, talking
with Kevin, they have a lot of football players playing basketball, but they're just happen to be good athletes playing very well.
Okay. Well, guys, it won't be long until it's Combo 30, Basketball 30.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Well,
will you be going if you're still – I mean, obviously, if you're still there, that's the goal is to take your teammate.
You know, I don't usually go much because, you know, I've got a couple young kids at home, been gone a lot, so they finally got me home a little bit, and I try to spend time with them. And then we normally make a trip up to the state tournament, watch games up there every year. So
that's usually a guy's trip up there.
Yeah, we go up, but I mean, sometimes I'll get down to watch a game at the Convo. I would love to, honestly, if I had a day where I wasn't leaving Amy and the kids at home alone and they were doing something else, I would love to get down there and watch a game. Like we talked about, there's a couple intriguing matchups that are probably going to happen down there in different divisions. And I know my brother will go to a lot of those games, and I'd love to ride down and watch some with him, but I don't know if I'll be able to or not.
I know maybe not to the extent that it was, say, 6-7 years ago, but as a coach, when it's over, do you just kind of like to give yourself a couple week of just getting away from the sport? Regroup, I mean, kind of get your life back on another track, because literally since November, first part of November, this has been pretty much at the forefront of what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Day. You know, I always laugh about it. I almost go through stages, man, like stages of grief or something. You know,
right.
I got, you lose, so you're mad. Then the next couple of days, you just sort of decompress. And you know, it's like, well, I don't have anything to do today. You know what I mean? I just go home after school when you're used to going to practice. But then, you know, once you get a few days under your belt, you've relaxed, you've got maybe caught up on your sleep a little bit, honestly, you start thinking about I started thinking about the next year, because my favorite part of coaching is the off season. I love the summer development, trying to coach kids. So, you know, I immediately start kind of kicking into that mode. So hopefully that doesn't happen for a couple more weeks, because we'd like to really make it to the Convo. I mean, that's our goal, and that's what we're shooting for right now.
It's a nice segue, because I had two topics to talk to you about before we get out of here. One being the football coach, which we'll get to, and then obviously off season. And I know you enjoy that. That's, I think, you and I have talked many times. You would rather coach practice and teach and do all that exponentially more than you would a game. It's just more enjoyable to you. That being said, with this senior class moving on, you still got a boatload of talent coming up. But I think one of the things, we've talked about it, the physicality or lack thereof of our team. I know a lot of kids, Tristan Bartow in particular, has worked very, very hard in the off season. You got Jordan Albright, who plays a 12-month schedule with his AAU and all of that. But what would be, if you could lay out, you know, three or four goals or items that will be areas of emphasis for you and your program, and I am assuming you're going to be back next year.
Right.
That's a yes?
I hope so. I mean, you know, Lord willing, I'm healthy.
Well, no, yeah. No,
he would have to not recommend himself.
He's done some silly things in his day. Trust me, I could tell stories. But no, seriously, a couple things that you would really look at and say, if I could have a magic wand and this is what I want our kids and our program to accomplish in the offseason, what would it be?
I think, one, I'd like to develop a little more potency off our bench. You know, our bench has been good this year in terms of their roles and playing defense and competing. But I think I would like to have a little more scoring punch off of the bench. So hopefully we can develop a little bit more of that. I would like to have a little more scoring punch on the blocks. You know, right? I mean, this year we really, Chase Wood's been our only consistent guy in terms of just posting up down on the block and scoring. You know, Max has been really good for us, but he's more of a face the basket kid.
And you got some good,
you know, Bo Michaels kids developing. We've got some, you know, obviously we've got a really tall freshman down there in Bryce Dameron who's trying to develop. But we've got to develop some of those kids, I think, so we can have a little bit more scoring at the basket with our back to the basket. And then, like you say, size and strength, we want to continue to just work on our bodies a little bit. I think some of it will come with age. These kids will get a year older, and you'll see a development. But those are probably the three things that we go into the summer most concerned about.
Okay, last topic, and I would appreciate your views too, because you've been to one or two of these new hire rodeos in your day.
Yes.
No offense, and I'll predicate this whole conversation with, I think the world of Justy Burleson. Justy Burleson, I think he is a good man. I think his heart was in it. I think he tried. I wish him well in his career that he's going to be pursuing with this cattleman's thing. And this is not in any shape or form to take shots at him or his staff. But that being said, Vinton County football is really in a bad spot, you know, in terms of wins and losses, in terms of kids coming out, you know, an entire program. And I think a lot of people in any community, and I think you would attest to this, say at Vinton County, Wellston, okay, you name the school district, every district has got issues at some point in time in some shape or form. That being said, Mr. Athletic Director, Matt Combs, you know, all the talk around the community, there's this committee that you're on.
Right.
And I don't even know if you care to mention the names. I don't really think it's that important. Have you met, what are some of the things that you are at liberty to discuss that the committee feels is going to be important in getting the right hire and the right staff? And what do you think our district, not, you know, as a district, I think anytime you fail in business, it's real easy to point the finger at the coaches, but as a district, you kind of got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what, maybe we're not doing some things right. What are you guys talking about, and what's the direction that you look to see this thing go?
Well, I think so far what we've tried to do, obviously, is you know, that we're in the infancy steps of it. We've collected resumes. We've had people apply. We probably had somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-ish apply. We opened it up on the OHSA, wide open, so we could see who was interested. We've met. We've sort of narrowed, you know, there's so many things that go into it, because you've got, what teaching certifications do people have? What jobs are we going to have open, you know?
Right. And really, you don't know that completely.
No, and that's what gets really tricky, because you can't wait till June and July to hire a football coach, and that's when you're going to know a lot of times 100% sure what teaching jobs you have. So there's a lot that goes into that. But so basically, we've tried to narrow it down to a workable number. We're going to start interviews here in the next week or so. And then, you know, hopefully find the right fit for us. I think, you know, the other part of your question there was, you know, what direction are we trying to go or look for? I think the one thing the committee's talked about is really wanting, somebody that's going to make a long-term commitment if possible. You never know, but you'd like for that to happen, because you want somebody to build a program over the course of time. Our program's in a situation right now where you're probably not going to come in and your first year and just move mountains. I mean, we've got to build this thing up. You know, we've had number issues. We haven't had a lot of kids out, not only at the varsity level, but junior high level. You know, I think we want somebody to come in and really reconnect with our youth programs, our junior high, really just build a program from the ground up, you know. And I think right now that's what's got to happen. So we're looking for somebody that fits that mold, somebody who obviously is a team player with our other coaches and knows that at a school like Vinton County, we've got to share our athletes with, you know, they all have to play two and three sports a lot of times. And so there's a lot of things, I guess, we're looking for in that. And, you know, hopefully we can find the right person for the job. And then they also it can work logistically, right. You know, them, you know, having the right teaching jobs available and things like that. So, but I know we're going about it the right way. We're going about it open-minded, really looking at all options. So.
Paul Boggs, I know to get your input, and I don't know how many.
I just recently dealt with the Wellston, hired Greg Phillips.
Bring Greg back, right.
As their head football coach. Their situation right now is really, you see it with the numbers or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
They started last season with 34 players, 9 through 12, and finished with 27. And they are a Division V school. Now, with the number situation, that's really the key. Is at the junior high level, you really got to have, you know, 25, 30, 35 kids come out 7th grade, 8th grade, because you got to figure you're going to, you know, lose numbers by maybe a third.
Right.
Every year, you say you have 30 7th graders, probably going to have, you know, 21, 22 8th graders. That number is going to diminish by the time.
There's going to be attrition.
Yeah. Well, there's some kids that just feel, oh, this isn't for me. You know what I mean? They try. Yeah, you're always going to lose a few.
Well, and just the fact that the game gets quicker and more physical, I'd call it a spade. It's, you know, some kids just say, it's not fun to me anymore. I'm intimidated or whatever. But
right. Let's say they play as freshmen or sophomores. You know, taking that one hit in the big ball game, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. Then they'll come back as a senior, but you've missed, you know, one, maybe 2 years.
Well, you're just not as good. And I mean, I actually had a Benton County, I'm not mentioning any names, but a player that has been mentioned on this podcast that his father, when he was a freshman, plays football. He said, my son really wants to play. I'm just worried. I'm like, why are you worried? Well, and he's a big kid for a freshman. He's like, I know, and he's like, I don't fault Coach Burleson, but I know he's big as a freshman. He's going to get thrown into the varsity level, and I'm worried about he's still a boy, and he's going to be playing amongst men. And sure enough, that freshman kid played varsity, and I'm sure that if we had him in here, he'd say, and, you know, did you get your bell rung? Uh-huh, yeah. And that can be a turnoff, but that's a function of, as a coach, when you only have, you know, you're a D3 football school, and you only got 30 guys on the roster. Well,
And it's really hard to have good quality practices with so few numbers.
Right. So basically you think, I mean, and I'm not holding you, I mean, I know you were one of several committee members in terms of you, Mr. Waddell, the high school principal, and I've heard that some other names involved, but you think that this, it would be your hope that within the next 4 to 5 weeks that you will have someone hired?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know it was with the timing of the resignation didn't happen until the board didn't accept the resignation until I think February 12th. So that pretty much
the word had been on the street.
Yeah, but in terms of being able to start the process, we really couldn't do that until everything was done. So that pretty much prevented us, we thought, from being able to get this thing done. And, you know, we don't want to rush this process and try to say, hey, we'll have it done in 20 days here and we'll know.
Right.
You know, we want to do it the right way. So, yeah, it's probably going to be, you know, hopefully, you know, by the middle of March or so, you know, we'll have a name to, you know, the committee will have a name to recommend at least, and then obviously it'll have to go through the Board of Education and all that. So.
Well, that's, you know, the easiest thing in the world to do is sit back and criticize, and that's why I'm glad I'm not on the committee. But dealing with human resource management and hiring and firing and all that, I'll never forget my dad made the comment once, it's always a good hire the day you make it.
Yeah.
I've never hired a bad employee because it's like going into a relationship or a marriage. You never marry a girl that you think is going to go bad. It's having the wisdom to see forward to be able to manage that person or that situation, not if, but when, you know, tough times arise. So good luck to you, brother.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a challenge, but we've got off to a good start. And I think we've got people that are trying their best to make a good decision. So hopefully we'll do what's right for our kids and for our community.
Paul, appreciate you coming up. Your second or third time up here?
Second time, I believe.
Second time.
Was here last year at this time?
Yeah, I did. But we have you in here with the infamous Troy Bolin.
No, you had me in here with the infamous Terry Hale.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Strong. Strong. Yeah, we tried to get Troy Bolin, but his agent wouldn't return our calls. You'll have that.
You'll have that.
Big ego AM flamethrower radio guy. Anyhow, off season, any coaches seminar, the staff party, is there any plans on that, coach?
Well, I mean, if Terry Hell can volunteer your house again, we'd love to have a staff.
Are you paying for the golf trip again this year?
Oh yeah, yeah. Anytime you want to go up, I'll
organize it. You just pay for it. You make the rules and throw clubs and have tantrums and do what you do outside of coaching.
Hey, if I don't throw as many clubs as Coach Oz, so you know, if you take him up there again, he's the club thrower.
It's true. Jim can he can
wing a club now,
but he never throws it towards the green. That's what makes no sense. He always throws it backwards.
Yeah.
Then you're like, Oz, go get your 7-iron. Oh, well. Well, I'm looking forward to getting back to being friends with Matt Combs because the coach's part of him just wears me out. But seriously, another year is in the can, so to speak, with the podcast. Thanks for coming, Coach. Good luck to you in the tournament. We'll see you, your bright and shiny, smiley face, you and Coach Stiverson hugging, holding hands, being buddies at the sectional game tomorrow night at Logan.
Yep, hopefully we'll play well. We'll see.
Well, and also, one quick thank you before we get out of here. Thanks to McDonald's of MacArthur, yes. Brad and Sarah Munn, for their generous corporate donors, sponsorship of this thing, and all that money going to the kids. So, for Matt Combs, guest Paul Boggs, I'm Carl Knox saying thanks for joining us on the Viking Realm Podcast. We'll talk to you again next year.